everybody. We are live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3725 of the Survival Podcast. We're kind of wrapping up today a summer series on mushroom growing. Now, we didn't do them every week or anything with our interviews, but we did quite a bit. We had Olga, who is with us today, Olga Kadic from Mushroom Mountain, on kind of lead that off. I did kind of a standalone just me mushroom show. We brought on a couple with a small company specializing in specific mushroom extracts. We brought on a guy last week, Kevin, who started a home-based business and now sells fairly large scale. And we also brought the folks on from Northport. So we've had a pretty good view of mushrooms. And we've talked in and out on the medicinal properties, but we've never really dived deep. You know, this show is very much about self-sufficiency and self-reliance. And we came at this mostly from the standpoint of growing food. But we're also big on growing medicine around here. We're big on herbs, mushrooms, and many other natural forms of wellness. And when I found Olga and I found Mushroom Mountain, I realized that somebody that, yes, they sell the fruiting blocks and all the materials and all that, but also somebody that's really deeply appreciative of the healing and nurturing qualities of the Third Kingdom. So we'll have her on in just a moment to discuss that. Before we do, let me remind you about one way you can help support the work that I do, and that would be to get a copy of my book, Laws of Life, Ditch the System and Design Your Life. This is something I say a lot, but I want you to really think about this. We have these people who do things like work for insurance companies. We have social engineers. We have all types of people like this. They can generally take a person at the age of 25 and say, if this person doesn't get cancer at 32, if they don't get hit by a truck at 29, they're going to live about this long, and this is what their retirement's going to look like. With astounding accuracy. Astounding accuracy. And in this book, I talk about how the reason for that is, by that age, most people have picked their maze. If you put a person in a maze, if you put a rat in a maze, maybe a better analogy, and there's only one way out, you know where the rat's going to come out the other side. He's got two choices. He either comes out at the other side, exactly where you want him to, or he dies along the way. That's your life if you don't design it. That's how it works. The system has designed a life, a maze, for everyone at every demographic level. Unless you break out. Unless you figure out the walls aren't real. Unless you learn how to blow holes in them. Unless you learn how to climb over them. Unless you learn how to tunnel through them. That's what this book does for you. It helps you identify the walls in your life that are preventing you from getting what you really want and design your life instead of letting somebody else do it for you. Because either way, you're going to live a designed life, either the one you designed for yourself or the one that the system designs for you. And if you've got young people in your life, this might just be the ass kicking they need. I would say this is for everybody, this book, but the perfect demographic is 15 to 35. That is where this really hits home for people because they have so much runway left, and yet many of them haven't actually built up any real starting point yet. There's no better time to address the construction of a building than when you're pouring the foundation. That's what this book will help the young people in your life do. Again, Laws of Life, available on Amazon. Pick up a copy, share it with others, give it as a gift. Whenever you do that, you're helping me in the work that I do here. With that, I want to introduce Olga. No, I want to introduce our special guest, Olga Kadic of Mushroom Mountain, returning to TSP after about 2 months. So welcome back, Olga.
Thank you for having me back.
I am really happy to have you back. I'm really happy to talk about today's subject, which is going to be the medicinal world of mushrooms. What I want to start out with, though, especially for people that did not hear your first interview, how did you get involved with mushrooms? I'm pretty sure you probably weren't spacing out in study hall when you were a teenager and thinking, one day I'm going to grow up and grow mushrooms and have a mushroom business. Like, this is a big commitment. This is what you do with your life, kind of like I do with podcasting. What drew you to mushrooms? And more specifically, what made you really evolve into a focus on medicinal use?
Mm-hmm, sure. Well, I was drawn to mushrooms at a very, very young age. And I was really, their colors and their shapes and the mystery behind them. They were like tools. We knew that like frogs were sitting on them and catching bugs. And they created clouds when we kicked them or when the wind blew. And, you know, I was also told that some were poisonous and maybe not to touch them at the beginning. But then, we collected mushrooms as kids with our grandparents. And I really just enjoy all the weirdness of nature, like you know, the spiders and the snakes, the weird flies and the magpies that steal chicken eggs and baby chickens. So mushrooms were really entertainment for me because me and my sister were in the woods when we were little all the time. I enjoyed looking for them and running into the field after the rain in anticipation of finding them. I didn't know they were medicinal then. They were just really tasty snacks for me and my sister. Our grandma cooked them on the wood stove for us with nothing but salt and heat. And then about 15 years ago, I read a few articles on medicinal properties of mushrooms. And I was really astounded by, you know, like all these medicinal properties that, that mushrooms possess. And then I got myself the book called Fungal Pharmacy by Robert Rogers. And it's also then when I started making my own concoctions. At the same time, I took a class with a really good friend and a local herbalist. Her name is Robin McGee. And she taught me how to make my own elderberry tincture at first, which I still have the original bottle that it came in. It's right here. Hold on 1 second. Shadow, come here. Come. Sorry. I have a dog. Shadow,
it's come. Real world podcasting. It's okay.
Yes. I have a Belgian Malinois here with me.
Oh,
the Shadow. And so this is the original bottle that I the first time I made my elderberry tincture. And then I went a little bit further in that and I started adding reishi in there and raw honey and all kinds of other different plants. And I still make that tincture to this day with reishi. And here's my product. It's called reishi and elderberry tincture. And one of my favorites because I use it for I use it like for the cold, you know, the cold season that is coming up right now to prevent flu, you know, prevent flus and colds and all kinds of other infections. So that's how I got into it.
Kind of a related question to that. I've talked to a lot of mushroom folks this year, but for a long time. I mean, I did all three Permaculture Voices conferences back in the day. There were lots of mushroom folks there. I kind of find a similarity between them and a totally unrelated field, ham radio, in that people get exposed to it and a significant number of those people get fully sucked in. Mm-hmm. Like you talk to a ham radio guy, he's evangelical. Like, I'll give you a free radio. You need to do this. I'll help you get your, like, they're like excited about it to the point of, if this is the difference, like they're almost annoying. Mushroom people aren't really with it, but it is that same kind of fanatical, like somebody discovers this. Maybe they, like you and me, like I had experience with this when I was a kid too, but it was more about we forage stuff and it was food. That was why we did it. But then they find out you can grow them, you can cultivate them, they're medicinal. And they go freaking balls to the wall all in, man. It's just like it becomes their life. What is it about fungi that does that to people?
It is, I cannot really explain it. I just can tell you that when I'm in the woods and when I see mushrooms, like we recently been having a lot of rain and mushrooms are just everywhere. And I can't help go out there and just take pictures of them and photograph them and think about like what kind of substrate they're growing on and can I grow them? What kind of medicinal properties do they have? How they can nourish me and all these things. It's just a magical, magical feel to get into. And on top of it is once you start learning about them, you really never stop learning. You're it's like, I feel like I'm always going to be a student of mycology.
Gotcha. For someone that's new to medicinal mushrooms, like where do you think they should start? Like what mushrooms make kind of sense for everybody? I'm not like trying to cure a specific thing or something. I'm just trying to improve my health. Like where do I start? Cause there's so much information.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Well, if you're brand new to the medicinal mushroom world, the best place to start is just really trying like one or two to see how they affect you and that match your current needs. You don't really need like five at once. You start simple, you listen to your body and then you build from there. But a few of my favorite beginner friendly mushrooms are, for example, lion's mane, which I know for a fact that a lot of people have heard about lion's mane. It's like on the, you know, it's one of the upcoming mushrooms. It's been like that for many, many years now. But lion's mane is really great if you're feeling foggy, anxious, or like if you want to support your brain. It helps with focus, with memory and mood, and it's also deeply nourishing to our nervous system. It's also really good for your gut. If you didn't know, I don't know if you knew, Jack, but 90 to 95% of serotonin is actually made in our gut, not in our brain. It's and the lion's mane, it has the anti-inflammatory effects, which can calm our gut lining, which then you know, helps produce all of the serotonin. And I don't know if you also knew that inflammation in our stomachs is directly related with anxiety, depression, and cognitive decline. The another one that I really, really love is the reishi mushroom. And I actually have a reishi mushroom right here. If you guys have never seen one, I picked this one in the woods. You can see there's twigs like growing right through it. Or the mushroom actually grew around the twigs.
The twig, yeah.
Right there, yeah. This mushroom is known as the mushroom of immortality. And it's really great for stress. It's great for sleep. And it's great for just immune resilience. It's calming, and it works best when taken over time, which is really true with all mushrooms. This one also really helps greatly with inflammation. It helps with allergies. It helps with great sleep, which again, you know, none of us get enough of it. And when we don't get enough sleep, it affects our mood. It affects our concentration and really just overall mood. And productivity throughout the day. So this mushroom is really good for getting you to sleep. The only thing about this guy is if you are on blood thinners, this mushroom also tends to thin our blood. So, you know, but the thing is, though, I know a lot of people that have gotten off of their blood thinners and started this mushroom and just stayed with this one, and it's greatly improved their health.
A better way to accomplish that goal with a pharmaceutical.
Yeah, no kidding. Another mushroom that I just picked in the woods this morning, and it's actually the season for it starts right now, and it's called a turkey tail. There's a turkey tail right there. Really cool mushroom. It's a polypore. It's got pores on the underside. It smells like the forest, and it's an incredible immune ally. If you ever deal with chronic illnesses or low energy or frequent infections like viral or bacterial, this is a great mushroom to start with. It's well studied and it's very gentle. And the reason why this mushroom is so amazing is because it contains this compound called it's called beta glucans. And they act as prebiotics to beneficial bacteria in your gut. So this mushroom not only is good for immunity, but it's also really good for your gut, just like the lion's mane. So anybody that has like any kind of like IBS issues or any kind of issues really with your stomach, this is the mushroom to go with. It also so it helps regulate the immune system of the gut. And then which also means that a regulated immune system in your gut then prevents chronic inflammation of the stomach lining. So, and all disease, we know that all diseases really start in your gut. So reishi and turkey tails are really good for that.
You know, a lot of the mushrooms you mentioned there, medicinal varieties, are not mushrooms you would sit down and saute with butter and garlic, right?
Right. Yeah. So
is there a strong correlation to that? Because I know lion's mane in particular is actually an amazing culinary mushroom and amazing medicinal at the same time. Then others like maitake and shiitake and what have you, they're really great culinary mushrooms and they definitely have health benefits, but we don't think of them as strongly as medicinals. Are mostly really strong medicinals more of the, almost like the mushroom kingdom, kind of like, this is the stuff to make you better, and we don't want you to eat too much of it, and this is the stuff you could just shove in your hole whenever you're hungry?
Actually, all mushrooms are medicinal, all of them. And, you know, they are the edibles, the bitter ones, the acrid ones, the psychedelic ones, the poisonous ones, even the deadly mushrooms have medicinal properties in them.
Okay.
So what it is, it's the mushrooms are made of they have like the structural cell wall that's called chitin. Okay. And behind that chitin, all of these beta glucans and triterpenes and ergothionine, they're all hiding inside of that structural wall or behind it. But our guts cannot break the chitin down. Chitin is indigestible. Chitin is the same stuff that ants are made of and shrimp and, you know, some other like a maritime animals are made of this stuff. And so our bodies cannot break it down, but with heat and with alcohol, we can break it down. So a lot of mushrooms are, that are edible, like, you know, shiitakes or lion's mane, like you mentioned before, they're good edibles because, they're very fleshy, but these guys are like cardboard. So you can't really, like, if you find a bit into it, see that it's you can't even cook it down.
Yeah.
But you can make an extract out of it. All mushrooms are edible. Some of them only once, and all of them are medicinal. You have to know how to extract the medicinal compounds out of them, or how to isolate specific compounds, even like from poisonous mushrooms.
Yeah, I was gonna say there are some mushrooms that are very toxic, and if you eat, you know, a plate of them, you're not gonna go to the hospital. You're gonna go to the morgue. They do exist, but even some of those, I've seen people producing supplements. Mm-hmm. Using those mushrooms because, as often as the case, the poison is the dose. You know, people say, well, that's dangerous. Well, eat a bottle of aspirin and see what happens. You'll bleed out of every orifice of your body and die a horribly painful death if you do that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we as humans use that can be harmful. Mm-hmm. But I guess it kind of is analogous to people doing psychedelics with microdosing. Like, they don't get any real effect, but yet they get an effect. So it's something with an A. It's like the weird looking
Amanita.
That's it. I didn't want to embarrass myself trying to say it, but I've seen people recently, probably because my Facebook feed is now shoving all kinds of mushroom stuff at me, that have built a product off of this mushroom. And if you were to gathered a couple dozen of those and ate them, you're 6 feet under.
Well, the Amanita muscaria actually is edible. You just have to cook it have to decarboxylate it. It contains a compound called ibotenic acid, which is, but people do eat them. I've seen people make soups out of them and stuff like that. The Amanita muscaria is supposed to give you kind of like a drunk effect. It's not necessarily a psychedelic, you know, like where you're flying off in space or anything like that. So, but I don't know if you saw the video that I had posted maybe yesterday of the Amanita mushrooms, the Caesar's Amanita. Those are perfectly edible. They're Amanitas, but they're edible. So, and they don't have any kind of toxins in them. So I eat them.
Okay.
But really, like when it comes to Amanitas, be 100% sure, you know, that it's an edible Amanita before you eat it. So if you're a beginner, just don't even, you know, take pictures of them, look at them, pick them, whatever, but don't eat them.
Yeah, I've always said that, like, if you have any doubt, don't, like, just, like, we had a saying in the military, like, do you salute somebody? And when in doubt, whip it out. If you're not sure, go ahead and salute. You'll get in less trouble for saluting when you shouldn't and not saluting when you should. And I think that takes a steroid approach when it comes to mushrooms. Like, you'll really, really regret it. I have people all the time that, we do a lot of this bioactive composting, and you always get flushes of LBMs, little brown mushrooms. And which ones? I don't know. I feel like, can I eat these? Don't. Like, I don't know, and I'm not looking at a picture and telling you, because there's even some of those. Like, this is a crazy thing about mushrooms. I didn't know. Some of those are perfectly safe to eat unless you also consume alcohol, and then they become deadly. Like just if you don't know, just don't.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So what makes a mushroom medicinal? You know, what is it in them, and how do we identify these benefits? How do we extract, consume them? What do we do for best results so that we get the full potential of what this particular mushroom might be offering us?
Yeah, so like I was saying before, you know, mushrooms are made of this chitin structure, and we can't digest it. So the best way to really consume mushrooms, the edible ones, you can eat, you don't have to really take mushroom extracts to get the health benefits from mushrooms. You can actually cook them, and you just don't get the extra benefits that they provide, right? Because some compounds in mushrooms are not water soluble, so we use alcohol or dual extraction to get those compounds out, right? But when you do ingest these compounds, for example, like the beta glucans, which are the most studied out there at the moment, they bind to immune cells And they make them, they make the immune cells more efficient in moving around, activating and priming them to find abnormal cells. So they can release cytokines, which are these messenger proteins, right? And, those messenger proteins, they coordinate a stronger immune system or a stronger immune response. And, beta glucans, they sharpen the immune system so it can respond quicker, more efficiently, and pretty much more deadly to things in our bodies that we don't want, right? And then again, mushrooms are high in all different types of minerals and vitamins, and then also your beta glucans and triterpenes and ergothionine. And, I want to talk a little bit about the triterpenes, which can, which are really awesome in inhibiting, pro-inflammatory pathways. And they, which means really they reduce chronic inflammation. And they also protect cells from oxidative damage. They help the body regulate stress response and protect our brains from oxidative damage, which is like so freaking awesome. And some triterpenes, they may trigger apoptosis of cancer cells, which means it basically kills them, right? Okay. And some triterpenes have shown that they can slow down the growth of cancer cells, which is actually kind of like preventing metastasis, which is like, where else do you find that other than, you know, radiotherapy or chemotherapy, right? And then this other compound, the ergothionine, which is, you can also find it in organ meats and beans, but their concentrations are really, really high in mushrooms. And our bodies cannot make this compound, ergothionine, but we do actively absorb it, and our bodies, they store it. And it's important because it neutralizes free radicals and it protects cells from oxidative stress, right? And oxidative stress is linked to aging. It's linked to inflammation and all kinds of chronic diseases. And scientists are saying that, that this compound may play like a really important part or important role in healthy aging and disease prevention. And on top of this, our bodies actually have a special protein that is only designed to carry this compound, which suggests to me that it's really biologically essential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and with age, our bodies, we lose more and more of this compound, and that's really why we're aging. So it's important to keep it stocked up, and you can find it in mushrooms. It's amazing. So you want to cook your mushrooms, even if you're going to ingest them that way. It's super beneficial for our health. But like some of these compounds, like the triterpenes, they're not water soluble. So then you have to extract them with alcohol. And beta glucans are slightly, some of them are water soluble and some are not. So when you extract them with alcohol, you really bring out the beta glucans out of an extract. So some compounds, you get them out of cooking, and like with lion's mane, for example, that is like one of the best ones. Like some people don't even make alcohol extractions of lion's mane. They just do water extraction. So you just make tea, or you're cooking your mushroom down for at least 15 minutes and you eat it. You're ingesting, you know, like all these beta glucans and all these vitamins and all of these minerals and all of these other compounds that are really good for your brain and for your gut.
Yeah, I know lion's mane in particular. I grow a lot of that. Really started doing it this year, and it's very difficult for me to see putting it into a potion because it's so damn good. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was you or somebody else on Facebook said, how do you use this? So I'm like, I use it with butter and Old Bay.
All you need.
And what I never knew about that mushroom until this year, when I started investigating new ways to cook mushrooms, is the way to cook it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Press it and just like cook all the water out of it. And the texture that you end up with when you do that. And I've even had some big ones. I kind of cut them into like three planes because they're too big to cook the whole damn pom-pom ball down. And then when you do that, it's weird. Like most things, if you cook the moisture out of it, you can't get moisture back into it. Lion's mane's like, give it back.
Right.
So you take like some Old Bay and some clarified butter and some garlic. And then you drizzle it over that, and it just goes boom, and it just sucks it up.
Yes.
Legit tastes like seafood. I would say somewhere between crab and scallop. It tastes like a firm scallop more than crab to me. Like it's crab texture and scallop flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane how good that is. And all the vegans want to do it because they don't want to eat, you know, fish or crab or I don't care, but I just like it.
Yes, it's good delicious. For you. Good for you. And your brain is in, you know, like benefiting from it. And that's like the best part about it. Not only does it taste good, but it's also really, really good for you. So
I'm going to have to try to come up with a keto crab cake using it because I've seen people now making crab cake. They pull it apart and then they make crab cakes out of it. And they just treat it like it's the crab.
Right.
And I need to use like, I usually use like, they call it pork panko instead of breadcrumb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See how that works? Like, you got to keep the density from getting too dense, though, when you do that.
Yeah.
It's really crazy that we, because what I always worry about when I'm cooking things is, am I destroying medicinal properties? Like, early on, very early on in my life, I learned like all the health benefits I thought I was getting from garlic, I really wasn't getting that many because the biggest health benefits from garlic come from raw garlic. So I started, like, even if I cooked with garlic, you know, maybe mashing a little bit up and adding it at the end. But it seems like many of these mushrooms, you can degrade the medicinal, but a lot of them, you still get a lot of medicinal benefit from them, even if they're cooked. And some have to be cooked in some way.
You do. You absolutely do have to cook all mushrooms.
Okay.
When you're consuming the white button mushrooms that we're putting on our salad, raw, you're not getting anything. You're not getting any nutrition out of it. Because, you know, like I said before, they're made of chitin and our bodies cannot digest chitin. Cook them. And even some mushrooms that are actually edible, if you don't cook them and you consume them raw, you're going to get sick. You will. Like chicken of the woods, you will get sick if you eat it raw. Morels, you can even die from eating raw morels. It just happened a few years ago up in Montana. Some chef at the a sushi restaurant, he prepared the morels in like a sushi style and killed like 5 people.
Bro.
I know.
Bro, yeah. You better know what you're doing when you mess with anything that can make you sick and kill you. Like,
But it's
I've never been on raw mushroom anyway. I don't, they just don't, they don't taste that great raw.
Yeah. Some do, like the porcini mushroom when it's like, you just picked it out of the forest, and then you can slice it like really, really thin and just put a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper over it.
Okay.
And that is like, it's like,
and that was safe.
It's so good.
We're not going to put ourselves in a hospital.
No. Okay. A porcini. And then there's another one called a beefsteak, which is local to us here. And it literally, like when you slice into it, it looks like beef. And it even produces this this liquid that's like red. It's like bloody, but it tastes very lemony. And that one in very small amounts you can put in, and salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil, and then you know that's like a just to taste it, you know.
Let's go like kind of through some of like the big ones as to their benefits, like. The biggest ones I hear about right now are lion's mane, reishi, and chaga. Chaga is one that I actually know quite a bit about. It's very common in the Northeast where I grew up. It's very well known as something to make a medicine out of. Lion's mane is something that I learned about, you know, probably 20 years ago the first time as a culinary thing, but now it's super hot. And then reishi is like probably one of the best known medicinals.
Best known medicinals together with turkey tail because they're really well studied. And they've been used in medicine for over 2,000 years. Specifically this one, the mushroom of immortality. But it's really, really good for inflammation. Like if you have any kind of like arthritis, you know, like it's great for that. I've heard people telling me stories over and over again how good it is for reducing inflammation, where they, and not just like internal, like where you visibly can feel that your inflammation is going away. So it's also great for sleep. It's great for allergies. If you have mushroom allergies, you can take extract of this reishi mushroom, and it will make those mushroom allergies go away. It's crazy.
Thinking wasp venom to get non-allergic to bee stings or something. It's crazy.
It is. But there have been extensive studies that that show that it may help with upregulating your immune system defenses when there is like any kind of bacterial or viral infection or even cancer, and it's due to those beta glucans and the triterpenes. So like if you have a really hard time falling asleep at night, This mushroom is definitely for you. We actually have a blend at Mushroom Mountain. We call it the Shroomy Slumber, and where we combine lion's mane and reishi mushroom, and it's like one of our best sellers, and it really is like helping people. I've heard numerous reports of customers that they're falling asleep faster and they're sleeping longer and also like uninterrupted, which is amazing. Yeah. So quality sleep is happening everywhere with the Shroomy Slumber.
The Shroomy Slumber. That's a good marketing term too. I like that.
it's awesome.
That's Spherical approved for marketing right there. The Shroomy Slumber.
Yeah. And so when you get enough sleep, also what comes with that is that your cognitive function is greater, you are concentrating better, you're calmer, and you have more regulated mood, you know? So the triterpenes in the reishi are responsible for all of the effects, like the anti-inflammatory effects, the antihistamine effects, which is like the allergic stuff, and then even like, you know, anti-tumor effects, which is like amazing.
Well, and like the reishi, I think, is something maybe people don't realize this. Like, I can go to your site and I can buy fruiting blocks and I can grow that. It takes longer. It's a slower growing mushroom.
Yes.
I don't think maybe people realize if you set up like a monotub or a Martha tent or something like that, reishi is one of the medicinals that you can, it's relatively easy to grow. It just takes time.
It is. Yeah, all you got to do is just open up the bag and cut it on the top, and you really just can put a bag over it and make sure that you mist it, and then this mycelium creates almost kind of like a bark of itself on top of it, and that's when these mushrooms start emerging. And so they'll take like months to grow, but it's kind of like an artsy mushroom. It starts off this white little lab, and then it starts turning into like yellow and red and oranges. Oh, it's just so beautiful. I love it.
I didn't actually see if anybody did it or if they were just full of it, but like you could like graft it to itself or something, like to make like art out of it or some shit. Like
you can. I've seen people not only graft it, but also put it put the spawn in molds. So like a skull mold, and then you know, let it grow into itself, and then open it up, and then the mushrooms will sprout out of the skull. It's like,
okay, I got it. They're that kind of a mold. When you first said mold, I'm thinking like the bad mold, the blue mold. No.
Okay.
So like they can shape in.
Yes. Yeah. Which molds are, just so you know, molds are really not that necessarily bad for you.
Yeah.
They throw bread away because it's like, it's got like one little speck of mold on it. And once it's got that one little speck, it means it's all over the bread anyways. But it's really not that bad for you. You're not going to get sick from it.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely occasionally cut a little mold off cheese and go on with our lives. That's a definite thing in this. We don't throw cheese away around here.
No.
The maddest I ever saw my wife in my life, she's Dutch, and we were watching some show on nutrition, and they had this dietitian on, and she said something like, just remember, cheese is only for sprinkling. She used more curse words in one sentence than I've ever heard her use in a day. She was pretty mad at that lady for saying it was for sprinkling.
That is wrong of her. Wrong.
It's wrong. And cheese and mushrooms go great, too, by the way. I've been playing a lot with we're off the medicinal, except like you said, they're all medicinal. I've been doing pickles of like the pink oysters and the blue oysters and all. Mm-hmm. And like that on some sort of a crisp with like a brie or something. And like,
yummy.
Like truffle oil. I mean, holy, or something like it with some heat. Like I did what do you call it now? I can't think of it. Like there's a word, escabeche. It was like a shredded carrot,
fish.
Shredded, chopped up peppers.
Oh, okay.
And then I did a ferment of that.
Okay.
And jalapenos. So it's like sweet. It's like red sweet or yellow sweet peppers, green jalapenos, and orange carrots. So it had color to it. And I did that with like a smoked mushroom under. I'm working up the stuff for the workshop we're doing in November.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get people to try mushrooms in different ways.
Awesome.
Because I've kind of come to this determination. Like, I feel the same way about beer. If you say, I don't like mushrooms, you've probably only had, you know, like, light beer. Like, you've only had Miller Lite. That's why you don't like beer. Yeah. There's 1,000 permeations. And mushrooms are like that. Like, if the only mushroom you've ever had is a Pennsylvania container grown white mushroom on top of a Domino's pizza. I get why you don't like mushrooms. I don't like that either. There's watery, rubbery things sitting on top of cheap pizza. But there's so many ways and so many varieties, right? But kind of moving back to the world of mushrooms for medicine, can you talk a little bit about chaga? Because that's probably the one that I have the longest history with. It is a very common thing to gather it make basically an extract from it, especially around flu season up in the Northeast. A lot of old school, like my family's Ukrainian. Like where I grew up, everybody is some Slovakian, Ukrainian, Polish, Georgian, Kazakhstani, or for some reason Irish. Right? Mm-hmm. We had this whole Slovakian thing and Irish. So all the Slovakians, very rich tradition with mushrooms. Chaga was something that early immigrants, I think, grabbed onto heavily. Grows everywhere there.
Yes.
It really is an incredible immune booster. I mean, I don't remember anybody ever getting a flu shot, and I remember very few people getting the flu that were in the community, right?
Chaga is a good one. Chaga is it's not really a mushroom. It's more of it's like a sterile conch that is produced on really just birch trees. So like me here down in South Carolina, we don't have birch trees here. We have like water birch or whatever you call them. But chaga will not grow on them. But up in, in the mountains, you can actually find them. And, so it's like this sterile conch that grows on a birch tree. And usually people will see like these, on cherry trees down here, they'll see like these formations that kind of look like chaga, but it's not chaga. If it's growing on a cherry, it is not chaga for sure. And, this mushroom, or a sterile conch, it's very high in compounds that are like amazing for your immune system. The only thing about chaga that when you make the extract or when you make it into an extracted powder, it smells kind of like chocolate.
It
really does. It's amazing. And the only thing about it that I don't like is that it contains oxalic acid in it. So it's not healthy to be taken for a long period of time. You want to take it like for a month. And because it is one of the best immune system type of mushrooms. And then you want to like lay off of it for about a couple of months and then you take it again. It can cause gout if you overdo it with chaga. So
I have to say that's kind of how it was used. It's like, you know, once the flu started going around, everybody take your chaga for a couple of weeks and then go on with your life.
Like a seasonal thing, just like elderberries.
Yeah. Yeah. Elderberry is not something you want to be consuming on a daily basis either. It really isn't.
Right. Yeah.
Elderberry does make some badass mead. I'm just going to say it. Like, it's a pretty cool thing to do. let's talk about just overall adaptogens and immune boosting. That whole space of the herbal space has just exploded recently. But it's also something that mushrooms are really known for.
Right. So talk about what an adaptogen really is. It can be a plant or it can be a mushroom. And what it does, they help regulate different systems in our bodies. They help us adapt, to stress and kind of restore balance without overstimulating or oversedating. Right. And in the plant kingdom, there's like a few plants that are like ashwagandha, for example, or rhodiola. Those are, you know, adaptogens, but mushrooms, they offer even like a bigger toolkit because not only because they're like adaptogenic, but they're also immune modulating. So, you know, adaptogen plants like for teas and things like that, amazing. You drink them all day, every day, you know, but mushrooms, they add like that little bit of an extra thing where they, do the immune modulation. So, for example, like the turkey tail mushroom, right? The turkey tail mushroom, the way it supports our immune system is that it contains this compound that it's called PSK or polysaccharide crestin, right? Maybe you heard of crestin, which is a medication that is given in conjunction with radio and chemotherapy, and it helps kind of like ameliorate the effects of those therapies because, you know, chemotherapy, it doesn't only kill cancer cells, it also kills healthy cells, you know. And so the turkey tail mushroom, it brings, you know, like our immune system, it helps it come up so it can fight and protect those cells that we don't want destroying. So pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
On an aside, one of the friends I have from high school posts a lot of mushroom stuff.
Yeah.
Do a lot of walking in the woods and fight. I know this might be hard without a picture, but they recently posted a picture of like this tree just covered in a pink fungus.
Okay.
But it wasn't pink oyster. It was much smaller and it looked very similar to turkey tail.
Okay.
And I was like, it looks like a false turkey tail that's pink to me. Is that a thing or is it something else? Do you have any idea what that is?
No, it's definitely a mushroom. It's a polypore just like turkey tail is.
Okay.
And yeah, they are, I believe that it's also in the turkey tail family.
Oh, okay.
It's got like they're much thicker than turkey tail, but they do form
and
like.
It's got that kind of like scalloping on it that turkey tail has, like, but it was pink and I was bright pink. And I'm like, when I saw the picture, like glance out, I'm like, oh, that's a big cluster of pink oyster. But then it was like, well, they're way too small and everything's wrong. Okay. That was just an aside that you made me think of there. How can people tell when they're looking at the market what mushroom products are high quality and what aren't? Because if something can be commercialized, it will. The more commercialized it becomes, generally, not everybody that fully commercializes mass production messes things up, but most of them do. I think dealing with small producers would be a good place to start, but are there other indicators of what makes a product really high quality?
Sure, yeah. So you definitely want to look at the products that are dual extracted. Like I was talking about earlier, some compounds are water soluble and some are not, and we want all of those compounds, right? And so you want the dual extraction, which is alcohol and water. That's number one, right? That's what you look at first. And then you want to look at what was extracted. Was it the fruiting body? Was it the mycelium, or was it both, right?
Okay.
And most beneficial compounds are actually found in high concentrations in the fruiting body. And so when you do find extracts where it talks about mycelium extract, you want to make sure that it's not grown on grain. The reason why there's a lot of like grain mycelial extracts out there is because it's expensive to grow them in like these giant big vats of liquid culture, right? So most companies don't do it. It's just not cost effective. So, but when you are ingesting mycelial extracts, you're really ingesting a lot of starch.
Okay. Yeah,
you know,
makes
so
sense.
Try to stay away from those and just, you know, stay with like the with the fruiting body extracts. Now, lion's mane, for example, lion's mane has two different compounds in it. It's got haricinones and it's got arenicines, right? Haricinones are in the in the fruiting body, and haricinones, they are really good for they're good for like keeping focus, and they're basically up there in your brain, making sure that it's the arenicines is the ones that are in the high concentration in the mycelium, and the arenicines are the ones that can actually cross the blood-brain barrier, and they can actually help form new neural connections, right? So it basically is, which means that it regrows new brain cells, which is great for when you are dealing with like Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's disease, right? So, but it's found only in high concentrations in the mycelium. So this is where an extract of mycelium and fruiting body would be awesome in like a mushroom like lion's mane. But with like reishi or with maitake or with your turkey tails right here, it's okay just to have a dual fruiting body extract.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to be on the look out for. And then people that don't like to take liquid extracts like this one right here, because they have alcohol, you know, you can find extracted dry powders out there, but you have to make sure that it's not just somebody encapsulating dried mushrooms, that they're actually extracted. You take a mushroom, you powder it, and then you extract it, and then you evaporate all of the all of the alcohol in the water, and then you encapsulate that. And that's a process. Okay. So always be on the lookout. If you are at the farmer's market and you somebody's selling dried encapsulated mushrooms or mushroom extracts, ask them, like, how did they process the mushrooms?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, that's actually a huge tip, because I think probably there is a lot of powdered product out there.
Oh, yes.
It's just, we dried the mushroom and we put it in a grinder or some sort of processor. We made it into a fine powder and we mixed it together. And
right.
That is not the same thing as an extract.
It's not. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. I do that a lot, but I do that more for culinary use, like
soups and sauces.
Like when you do shiitakes, the stems aren't that great cooked, so we'll dry the stems and we'll powder them, and then we'll enrich stews, or we'll do like some of our, like, I'm a foodie, so I'll do weird shit where I'll make like a high reduced gastrique out of mushroom powder or something. But that's
okay.
Like you said, that's not an extract. And I would guess that one of the things I've noticed about some of the products that I've tried that are powders that are seem to be good quality, there's not a lot of flavor to them. Uh-huh. Where, like, when I do something with, like, if I have too many mushrooms and I dry them and I make a powder and do a reduction, they're very umami.
They have
a lot of flavor. So, like, if that product has a lot of flavor, it's probably not an extract. I don't know if that's true across all mushrooms, but it seems to fit.
It does fit. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Some mushrooms that we make extracted powders of, and then I mix them into honey, and then use that powder, extracted powder, and I put it in my tea or something, right? And it works great like that, but I can't really taste the mushrooms in there
at
all.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And some products I've used that I think are good, if I drop them in coffee or tea, it's like throwing collagen in there or something. You don't really get that umami mushroomy thing at all. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That vets out then. Is there anything else you want to say about the difference between fruiting body and mycelium based before we move on?
Let's see. The fruiting body is that's the fruit. Like, the mycelium is the body of the mushroom, or you can look at it as like it being a tree, right? And then the mushrooms are the fruit, or like the apples on there, right?
Okay.
And so most of the medicine, it gets transported into the fruit, and when you pick that off, then you can, you know, process it, and that's where you're going to get the most beneficial compounds. So, you know, just stick with that.
Is there a reason, like, I've noticed this with you, I've noticed this with other people, that they talk of mushrooms as teachers and healers, and they use like a pronoun, like they, when writing about them, as though they are some sort of being that can actually communicate with us. And it sounds weird, but the more I learn, the more I get sucked into that mindset as well. I recently read a couple of Paul Stamets's books. One I got on audio is, it actually has a bunch of different people that co-authored in it. And there's a lot on medicinals. There's a lot on psychedelics. And whoever they got to narrate it, she does a fantastic job of, like, spinning it more like a story, even though otherwise it could read as very dry scientific stuff. But I do think, like, it is this whole third kingdom. There is one of the things I thought was crazy was, like, finding out that genetically I have more in common with a shiitake than a I mean, we're totally different kingdoms and species and whatever, but, like, that's kind of crazy too. And then earlier you were talking about how there are literal receptors in our bodies that some fungi have substances that bond, like fitting a lock.
Right.
Which is true of cannabinoids as well. Like, there's no use for cannabinoids. Well, then why do we have an endocannabinoid system?
Right.
Like, and it seems like there is kind of this co-evolution, co-bonding of humans and fungi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, fungi, they form informational highways in the underground forest ecosystems. So, which really means they connect all of the plants and all of the trees, and they allow them to exchange nutrients and information. For example, here's an example. Like, let's say that some kind of insect lands on a tree and starts biting into its leaf. And then this tree, like, actually is producing bitter compounds that will tell that bug, oh, I'm not tasty anymore. So really what happens is that this tree that's being attacked is going to send signals through the root system, through the mycelium, to the next trees that are neighboring trees, these signals that says, uh-oh, I'm under the attack. And then these trees are immediately going to start producing like these bittering agents. So the bugs are not going to go to them. They're not going to want to eat them, which is crazy to me. And it's all because of mushrooms. How else are they going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So another example is that you have like a forest, let's say, and then you have these gigantic trees in it, and they form like this huge canopy that's shading out the bottom of the forest floor. And then you have these plants and these small trees, or like a little tree nursery underneath these gigantic trees. And it doesn't really, because of the canopy, the light does not get through very well. And so the small trees, they can barely photosynthesize. So what happens is that the big trees send food through the mycelium network to the small trees and feed them like that. Like I get goosebumps every time I think about this or I say it. It's just amazing to me. So, you know, another example that I found out about is that orchids, the terrestrial orchids, right? They have extremely, extremely small seeds, like kind of like dust-like, and their seeds, they lack this structure. It's called an endosperm, and this endosperm is actually a little packet of energy that helps them germinate, right? Produce leaves so they can photosynthesize. So they don't have this structure. So what happens is that they employ mushrooms or mushroom mycelium to get into the seed of this orchid, and the mycelium digests itself slightly and produces like this little energy packet called a protocorm. And the orchid seed uses that energy to start like swelling up, and then it keeps needing it more and more and more. And once the plant is ready or the seed is ready to germinate, that's when it, you know, the leaves come out and you have an orchid, right? And that's when the relationship doesn't necessarily like end. The mycelium kind of stays together with the orchid for the rest of its life. But then you have another instance where the do you know the plant ghost pipe?
I do not know that one. Okay, wow, you got me. Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah, ghost pipe is this plant that grows in the woods. It's native to the whole United States, and it lacks chlorophyll, right?
Oh, I know what it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a white plant.
It almost looks like a mushroom.
Exactly, right. A lot of people do mistake it for a mushroom. And so this plant, it lacks chlorophyll, so it cannot create its own food. So the mushroom is also employed by this plant to do the same thing with the seed, where it doesn't have an endosperm. It creates the mycelium digests itself, creates a protocorm, and then it germinates, right? It germinates at some point, but it cannot create chlorophyll, so it can't feed itself, right? And so the mushroom stays with it for the rest of its life, because it's now connecting the neighboring trees and the neighboring plants, which can donate the energy for this plant that cannot feed itself. And so that's what mushrooms feed. That's what mushrooms, they teach me, is that they teach us about community, and they teach us about sharing resources for the better of the whole forest and for the better of the whole community. So they, you know, they communicate and help each other, and us humans need to do the same thing.
There's some places, like one of the hugest mat of mycelium that's ever been researched, and I don't know if it's the one in the Northwest that's actually eating the forest and killing it, or if it's one of the more happy co-arrangements, but it's something like miles across, and then the actual path through the network is many miles, because it's not a straight line. And I don't remember if I read this in a book or online, so I can't verify if it was correct or not, because I can't find it now. But supposedly they did this research project where like scientists at one end introduced a radioactive isotope, mm-hmm. and then detected it at the other end.
Yeah.
And it was instantaneous. Like that should not, like it was moving at the speed of light.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Through the mycelium network. And that should not be possible. But it's like, we are introducing it now. We've detected it.
Right.
Miles away. Yeah. And that defies everything that I know about like physical science. That's that's like quantum entanglement level shit there. I don't have an explanation for that, but it appears to vet as valid that that happened.
Yeah, I have not heard about that one yet, but I did hear about the it's actually the honey mushroom, which is a parasitic fungus that is miles and miles, where on one end and on the other end the DNA is completely identical. So yeah, I think it's in Oregon.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I'm talking about.
I'm gonna have to look it up. Okay.
So how do you see mushrooms playing a role in the future of health and wellness and environmental healing? I think that I'm always a natural optimist with nature and permaculture and things like that. But I do feel like we've turned a corner that, like, people that never cared about this are starting to care.
Caring now.
Right?
Yeah.
I hate politics, but even from like a national level with some of the stuff that RFK is doing, he's not pushing mushrooms, but at least people are like actually going, oh, we're eating this. Well, maybe we shouldn't be eating this. Right. Like, and I see like there's this whole new awakening to our health and wellness. And it's not everything can be fixed with a drug, and they're not going to make a new drug that's going to make you well when you're purposely harming yourself. That's not coming. But I think mushrooms are going to play a role in this kind of awakening.
They do, especially because they're so adaptogenic and they don't really have, there isn't, unlike drugs, mushrooms are, they don't really have any like crazy side effects, you know? So, and if you're ingesting like a whole fruiting body, and it's like very complex, and just like our bodies are very complex, you know, and mushrooms play such a super important role in the health of our planet, you know. So they're recyclers, they're communicators, they clean up the environment, and so they're doing the same for us. They're helping us grow healthy soil, cleaning the soil. They're keeping microorganisms happy and flourishing, and they just overall help us grow nourishing foods, so which we didn't really kind of talk about today. But if you watch the other podcast that I was talking about, fairy mushrooms and all, about creating soil, you'll understand what I'm talking about there. But yeah, and on top of that, they contain all these amazing nutrients, all of these amazing minerals and vitamins and compounds that are integral to healing ourselves. So eat your mushrooms and take your extracts.
Eat your vitamins, right? Eat your mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
That's the same type of mindset. Is there a myth about medicinal mushrooms that you wish more people knew the truth behind it?
Yeah, there's a bunch of myths about mushrooms out there, but I think one of the more important ones is that mushrooms are not like quick fixes. You know, like they are more like of a tonic, functional food that supports your body over time. You know,
right.
So unlike like caffeine or like painkillers, mushrooms are not meant to give you an immediate buzz or like some kind of dramatic effect, but they do build resilience, and they modulate your immune system, and they also support your stress response, and they improve your cognitive and gut function, but just gradually. Okay. And so the benefits are often, they're like subtle at first, but over time you can really tell the difference. So it's
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that it reminds me of kind of like a working out. When you start going to the gym, you actually like, you start like, even though you're tired as hell, you at some point start feeling like you actually have more energy.
Yep.
And you are getting fewer colds. You're getting better focus. Your brain is working better, improved sleep, all of it. Mushrooms are kind of like that.
Yeah. But three workouts is not going to change your life. You got to keep doing it. It makes me think, I think it was Linda Page. I read a book by years ago. It wasn't really about mushrooms. It was more about alternative health as a whole. And she said, basically, well, how long did you take to screw yourself up?
Uh-huh.
And pretty much figure out about 1 year to fix every 5 years of abuse you did to your body.
That's crazy.
So if you spent the last 10 years breaking your body apart, getting on a natural path to health, like to fully restore where you should be, will probably take you 2 years.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to look at it. And it also makes sense. And it's, if you think about it, after you spent, 10 years of your life damaging yourself, 2 years to fix, it's kind of a bargain. And maybe you should get on it now instead of waiting till later, because it ain't good. It's like planting a tree, right? The best time to plant it was yesterday. you know, the best time to plant was 10 years ago. Next best time is today. Like,
yeah, right.
You get on it while you can. Let's take some questions. We only got like 4 questions and comments for you, but we got some. Larry says, I've seen some research that talks about the polysaccharides and peptides found in the stems of mushrooms can help with chelation of metals and microplastics.
Okay, I have not heard that study, but okay. I don't doubt it, yeah. And I'd love to read it, but I do, I don't doubt that that's the truth, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting as to why it's specifically the stems, but I have some hypothesis on that.
I'll read up on that.
Okay. It's just there is a different structure to them, so it might be something that's part of that structure because, like, some mushroom stems are delicious, and some they're just not. Like, the blue oysters I'm growing, they get the long stems. They're like kings. They're delicious. The stems on a pink are like a stick, right? You want those off. Would stroke patients benefit from lion's mane?
Absolutely. 100%. Yep. Okay. It like really helps in with your nervous like with your nerves in your whole body. So absolutely yes, and I've seen studies that support this.
Divine Fungi is more of a comment. Said if anyone can get fresh cordyceps for a tea, they actually taste pretty awesome after your cup's gone, mildly sweet.
Okay.
I've never even seen a fresh cordyceps mushroom, so
They come in different colors and forms. So cordyceps.
Do you grow those at all, or is that more?
Yeah, we grow some cordyceps militaris, but okay. I do find them in the woods a lot. I do find them infecting insects and false truffles and all kinds of things. Yeah,
it's interesting. You said you find them infecting insects. So one of the things I picked up from a gentleman named Steven Reisner, who is he's like meeting a freaked out Einstein that's always high. He's really a genius and he's big in the Canada space, hence the always high. But he does a lot with indigenous microorganisms and he taught us how to make an IMPO, which is basically an insect control mechanism. And what you do is you collect the indigenous microorganisms and then you train them. You mentioned chitin earlier and mushrooms have chitin, but you actually train the fungus to eat chitin. You know, it's made out of chitin, an exoskeleton of an insect.
Yeah.
And then you spray this on, and it's contact only. Like, it won't hurt something later. But when you have insect pests in your garden, you spray them with this, and you come back in a day, and they're laying there dead mummified, and the fungus is eating them. It's kind of crazy that you can actually use mushrooms to kill insects.
You can. And the way it works is the mycelium of the mushroom, what it does, it's – basically the spores, they germinate on the chitin and it's usually in a place where there's like a break, so the mycelium will enter the insect and it will
get a joint or something it. Right,
yeah, exactly, and it's going to start consuming it or myceliating it, the body of it, but still keeping it alive. And so it getting into its brain and then telling that insect to go to, let's say, like the highest spot on a tree. And then it makes, like, let's say, for example, an ant, it makes it bite into the tree. So it stays stuck there. And that's when it kills it and completely myceliates it. And then a mushroom comes growing out of its neck. And that's where the mushroom will put out its spores.
Yeah.
And it's like out of this world, really.
I don't know if any mycologists are out there working on a mushroom, a fungi anyway, even if that had to be a mushroom, that would specifically target and eliminate fire ants. But we need that in the South, man. We need, like, that would, I would spray the shit out of that everywhere.
Yeah, we've actually found a cordyceps mushroom that was growing on a carpenter ant down here in the woods of South Carolina.
Yeah.
And the carpenter ants and fire ants are in the same clade.
Okay.
Which means that if they should
be able to do the other.
Exactly. So we've collected fire ants in the lab and put them in like a container, and we were actually able to completely mummify the ants.
All right.
And we've tried
I just need something like an inoculator whole freaking mound with it, man. That
yeah, we've tried that, but fire ants are not dumb. They have not. Like a you know, their nests are like a mile in diameter. Yeah. So it's like if you hit them in one place, they're gonna recover from that. So it's really hard. Also trying to figure out their feeding, how they feed and when they feed. You know, so we've tried doing it, but we failed. But I think that if somebody else finds that fungus out there, please try it, because fire ants are horrible. They're not only a nuisance to us, but they also kill birds and they kill like baby animals that are you know, on the ground. So
yeah, we had a bantam chicken that had a whole litter killed by a whole little mini flock of babies. You know, when a bantam's born, it's like smaller than a quail. It's tiny and it can't really move, and she, I've never seen a chicken mourn before, but I saw that bird mourn. She mourned the loss of her. It was pretty sad. She got over it today, but I mean, she was just kept going back to the spot and just sitting there depressed. And it's like, we have two ants in Texas that are awful to deal with. One are fire ants, though I have far less of them than I used to, because if you improve your fertility, they don't like it and they tend to move off. But the other one, these new ones, they started down in Houston somehow. I don't know where they're from. They call them crazy raspberries.
Oh.
And they're smaller than a fire ant. They're very red and they will bite the shit out of you. But they generally don't bother people. The problem is they like electrical magnetic signals.
What?
So they like to do things like go inside air conditioners. They like to go in outside electrical outlets. My biggest problem with them is they get in like any kind of outdoor circuit you want to put a GFI in. And the GFI circuits have a bigger background. And like the thing will pop. And you go to reset it. It won't reset. And as you're pushing it, these little bastards come out of the electrical outlet and start biting you. And then so you end up like having to just like spray the whole thing with ant killer, because like I'm all for not using toxins, but like I got to get them out of there, and I'm not taking it apart and replacing the outlet, because then you end up having to do, they destroy the outlet. It won't reset and you have to replace the whole outlet. And they've seemed to disappear on my place, but they are a problem too. And I have no idea what ant clade they're part of, but if anybody can make those things go away with fungi, I think you deserve a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, right.
By the way, if Paul Stamets dies without a Nobel Prize, I'm going to be pissed. The work that bro has done with stuff is incredible. We've got one more for you before we let you go, Olga. And it's a good one to end on. Moonsprout says, do you have a channel? And I think he means on here on YouTube. I don't have YouTube. What I do have for you is Facebook, Instagram, and X. And those will all be in the audio notes. Do you have a presence on YouTube?
Our channel is called Spore Prince.
Okay.
As in, you know, mushroom, you put a mushroom down and it puts out its spores and creates a spore print. So that's Spore Prince. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I'll add that to the notes. So right down there in the video notes, guys. And of course, this link won't work if you're watching us live until we're done. But there's a link there that'll go over to my blog where the audio side is and all of the resources and all of Olga's links, including to Mushroom Mountain, et cetera, will be there. I got one more question for you, Cayman, while we were doing it. Adam, I'm going to begin TRT treatment. Is there a complementary mushroom?
And TRT, that's hormones?
I think that's testosterone replacement.
Okay, right. Yeah. So any mushrooms are good right there, because they are, like I was saying before, they're adaptogens. So they, wherever, like, you know, something in your body is too high, mushrooms will bring it down. And same with if anything is too low, mushrooms will bring it back up into harmony. So any mushrooms are going to be great for that.
And specifically those that are more adaptogenic would probably be the way to go. Okay, cool. You want to remind people, because you're a great partner in the MSB. And first of all, I think your product set has an incredibly valuable, it's worth the money without the discount, is what I'm trying to say. And specifically that one of the big differentiators I've seen with you is shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's places, free shipping. Like where there's other places that like, it's like buying another block in the shipment just to pay, or a block and a half to pay for shipping, which I get it because it's heavy. But somehow you're able to ship free, and you do like a 20% discount for us.
That's right. I do.
And so tell people about what they can find and where they can find it.
Yeah, so if you guys go to our website, mushroommountain.com, and just for the extract, specifically go into the Mycomatrix section. It's right on the top navigation, and you're going to find all of our extracts right there, all of the blends, and you can even save more money by subscribing. If you want to, you save an additional 10% if you're a subscriber. And then for all of the spawn, all of your spawn needs, just go into the shop section. That's where you're going to find all the sawdust spawn or the plug spawn, all the fruiting kits. If you don't want to grow, if you just don't want to grow, you just want to watch it grow on its own. And then our, our learn section is really amazing too. So if you have any questions about where to start, you just go into that learn section, and it talks about all of the mushrooms that we sell. Click back to main on top.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the learn section, if you just roll over it real quick,
yep.
See the meet the mushroom section. It talks about each mushrooms, what their medicinal properties are. How do you grow them? How do they taste? How do you cook them? All of this stuff is in there. Really cool section.
Awesome. I've been on your site a lot. I've ordered a lot of stuff. I didn't find this. This is great.
Thank you, Jack.
This is a great place for people to start that want to learn more, man. I mean, and I still don't know how I'm doing it, but if anybody wants to try to replicate it, this warm oyster strain right here, these are the ones that I'm getting the giant freaking stems out of. I don't know why, because everything else has normal form. So,
yeah,
I'm not complaining. I want to do it so that I can do it on purpose.
Yeah.
So I can tell other people how to do it, because to grow a blue oyster is so fast and easy, and get those big meaty stems is just badass. And I don't know what I'm doing that's making it.
I'm wondering how you're getting them. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you don't know, because now I don't feel dumb for not knowing, because I could just lie and say it's a secret. And it kind of would be true. It's just a secret to me, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been fun. Our last conversation was great. You're always welcome back.
Thank you.
Just reach out and we'll get Dorothy to book you, as always. I'd love to have you back again.
Awesome.
And again, folks, she's got a great website, mushroommountain.com. If you're an MSB member, 20% off everything there. That could easily, it's a $50 membership, guys. That could easily save you your membership in a year by itself. Very generous discount, really great product set, and I recommend you guys go over there and check it out. And when you're checking it out, if you're like, wow, this is really great, I'm going to order some stuff, join the MSB and get your discount, because I'm not giving it to you for free. Anyway, because that's how we make money around here. Olga, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, real quick before we go, folks, I want to remind you there are many ways you can help support the show and the work that we do. And one is very simple. Please do your online shopping starting at tspaz.com. It takes a couple extra seconds and doesn't cost you any extra money. Specifically, you can shop Amazon and Vivor through there. With Vivor, you get a discount on everything at Vivor, no matter what you're buying, plus the products I've reviewed are there for you to check out. And then on Amazon, which is where most people end up shopping through tspaz, we've reviewed over 500 products over about 10 years at tspaz.com. These are all things I use in my own home. If I didn't spend my money on it, I wouldn't suggest that you do. I'm a big foodie. I love to cook. I have the same item of the day for you guys today because it's still on sale as I did yesterday. The Thermo Maven Instant Read Thermometer. Like many of you that do a lot of grilling and cooking and stuff outdoors, I have gone to the meter thermometers that are remote. And that way I can have multiple pieces and they're all on my phone, and that's great. I have built-in thermometers on my pellet smoking grills and stuff like that. But that doesn't work for everything. Some things you need an instant read for. Thinner pieces of meat don't work with those big thermometers. Things that you're kind of cooking on the fly, you just want to temp them before you bring them off. Here's one. This weekend, I smoked an amazing chuck roast, and I could use a regular big old thick thermometer for that. My wife made some of her amazing freaking meatballs. And there was just like 8 that wouldn't fit in the oven when we baked them. So we saved them overnight, and I threw them on the smoker, and I made smoked meatballs. Yeah, you're not going to temp that with one of those big old meter thermometers. With this, I was able to figure out exactly when to pull them, and they came out amazing, by the way. You got to try smoked meatballs. But you got to get this thing, the Thermo Maven Instant Read Thermometer. It's on sale right now, 27% off. It's a good deal anyway. One way or another, but now would be a great time to pick one up. And if you got a foodie in your life, no one's going to object to this as a gift. So definitely consider that. And again, real quick, one more pitch for my book. We have literally not gone a day without selling a few copies of this book since we released it in May. I have to say I'm really surprised by that because I thought we'd get the big hit we did out of the gate. Most of the audience that wanted a copy would buy a copy right away. Some of you guys bought 10 copies, 20 copies, and gave them out as gifts and helped us get it off the ground. I appreciate that. But we've continued to sell. So I know we're selling to people outside of the TSP fold, and that is good. But again, this is a great way for you to share our work. You guys know my life thesis. I've talked about it for 17 years on the air. There are some people, for one reason or another, just not going to listen to a podcast, especially a scary survival podcast, right? So you can give them this book. This book is the philosophy by which I built my life. If you look at my background and who I was when I was a 17-year-old kid graduating high school, there is no reason that any of those demographers I talked about earlier would say, this is where this guy's going to be when he's in his 50s. It doesn't make any sense until you read this book. Then it makes perfect sense. I became a student of life, and I became a student of success, and I became a student of success with life and with money. There's a very strong correlation to those things. And so I don't actually think it's a surprise. I think it's actually surprising more people don't do it. And this is what I mean. If you do anything consistently, you will get good at it. You got it? Like, show me someone that's been doing their job for 20 years and either their employer is really stupid or they're very good at their job. So why don't we choose to get good at things that actually advance our lives? Why don't we just get good at, you know, the thing we're paid to do that we get to the point where we can do it mindlessly? Why don't we get good at, like, planning our life? Why don't we get good at, like, how to plan out a business if that's what we want? Why don't we get good at building relationships? Why don't we get good at building reputations? You see what I'm saying? These are basic skill sets that humans should be good at, but we've gotten so out of touch with each other that we're not anymore. Why don't we get good at managing money? Do you know you can do that? You can get good at managing money, and then you'll, like, have money. Isn't that crazy? That's what this book will teach you how to do. So if you haven't picked up a copy yet, please do so. Again, Laws of Life, Ditch the System, Design Your Life. Book 2 is in the works. We're about halfway done with that. I hope to have it done by this fall so that maybe we can sell them as a mat set for Christmas or something like that. Anyway, guys, take care. Tomorrow will be an expert counsel Q&A show for the week. We'll have a bunch of stuff from the expert panel. You guys always love those shows. Friday we're off. Maybe we'll do a flashback. I don't know. Just remember, next week will be a short week. I'm going away. But when I come back, the AI course goes on sale that Monday. Don't miss out on it. Last time we opened that course, we only take 100 students at a spot. We sold out in 2 minutes. It's probably going to happen again. And then that next Saturday, which is the 13th, I think, of September, 9 a.m., that's when the workshop goes on sale. That also sells out every year, lightning fast. We're selling 35 more seats this year than we have previously, so it may take a little longer to sell out, but if you sleep in, you ain't coming. So get that on your calendar and be ready. Take care, guys. I'll catch you tomorrow with that expert counsel show for the week.
They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.